Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Upon the highest throne I saw the Lord seated, who was adored by multitudes of angels, singing together, Holy is the Lord of hosts, whose glory fills all the earth. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Upon the highest throne I saw the Lord seated, who was adored by multitudes of angels, singing together, "Holy is the Lord of hosts, whose glory fills all the earth." Father, who in wisdom has established the Christian home among us, we beseech thee so to rule and direct our hearts that we may be good examples to children, relatives, and acquaintances, and not offend them by word or deed, but faithfully teach them to love thy church and hear thy blessed word. Give them thy spirit and grace that this seed may bring forth good fruit, so that all home life may be to thy glory, honor, and praise, to our own improvement and welfare, and give offense to no one. Through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
Please be seated. Old Testament lesson from Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, "I have no pleasure in them." While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. The mountains shall bring peace to thy people, and the hills righteousness. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The epistle from Romans chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Is written in the second chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 41st verse. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Here ends the gospel. We confess together the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 133. Went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. But when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. This is our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon. Our Lord spoke of both his ministry and his person through the pen of David in Psalm 22. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise to you. The writer to Hebrews picked out this verse to emphasize that our Savior is, as we just celebrated, born a human, our brother, in Bethlehem, but no less Son of God. The wise men came to look for a human king, to be sure, but they also worshipped him as God. Now, God works through humility, something the world isn't familiar with. And that majestic king of the Jews wasn't found by the wise men in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the midst of the scribes or the Pharisees. The prophecy said that it was Bethlehem, which was to be his birthplace. Wise men were spared having to ask just where in Bethlehem because few would have known. So God sent a heavenly GPS, if you will, a luminescent star, and it directed them to the place, to a working class family and their son, in a village barely on the map. He was, to be sure, no earthly king. Because the whole earthly territory then and for years after was ruled by Rome. So Isaiah describes him aptly as a shoot out of dry ground. But even a shoot represented a hope and a future. The wise men looked at Jesus by faith and they went away all the wiser. The supposed wise of Jerusalem were left the more condemned, in that foreigners were the devout ones, while they stood around like bricks. Our Savior was spared Herod's murderous intentions. He spent time in exile in Egypt, and by God's guidance, Joseph resettled his family back in Nazareth, where Jesus began as an embryo, a fetus. Our Lord's young years there are summed up simply by Luke. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now our text today is a concrete example that he was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace. At 12, he was no longer just a child. Soon he would become a son of the law, a son of the covenant, expected to know a significant amount of doctrine, expected to attend one or two or all three major Jewish festivals, and to attend not just as an observer, but now as a participant. We're told Joseph made a point of attending one of those feasts every year, the Passover. That, as you remember, commemorated the salvation that God gave Israel in Egypt. The angel of death passed over door frames splashed with the blood of the Lamb. And he did it to free Israel from slavery. And in the New Testament, this becomes a picture of freedom won by our resurrected Lord from the devil and the sin that settled around us and settled in us. Slavery still shows itself, but so does Jesus. The slavery shows itself in our lives, not in his anymore. It shows in a thousand ways every day. It shows as husband and wife worry over money. As a boy takes advantage of a girl, sin shows itself. As records are forged or bills are cheated. Slavery shows as children daydream rather than learn. As disease takes a limb. As wars engulf innocence. As fetuses are discarded. Slavery shows as the Bible is ignored. All these things are death or lead to death. And death in turn leaves or leads us before a holy God. And he will hear no excuse. He'll send the unrepentant to hell, a place of eternal anguish. And this captivity to sin underlies our text. Passover was about sacrifice, to be offered up, not half-heartedly, like we offer a thanks to a doorman, but to offer it up, understanding suffering and hell. In our communion, we receive of Jesus' suffering, his broken body, his shed blood, elements that convey and carry into our mouth and heart forgiveness of sins. And that is why we partake, since we would be captive without it. And that is why, to establish forgiveness, that Jesus went back to Jerusalem about 20 years later than our text, a final time, fully aware of the ocean of suffering, of the eternities of hell that he would have to endure, knowing also he would emerge on the other side on the third day. That didn't erase the pain or the desertion that prompted him to say, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." He was deserted. Now, he wasn't deserted when Herod came after his life, or at 12 years old in this crowded city. The father didn't desert him after 40 days of fast in which he faced down Satan. But he was deserted on that Friday of the Passover, we call Good Friday. That is where Jesus stood in for us in the final test of love, in the final outcome of sin. Through the cross, he entered into our sentence of hell, an obedient sacrifice as prescribed by God. He was found alive 3 days later. And he declares to us in advance of our own death that we now can be bound for heaven. So if you want to measure what love really is, where it's found in this world, there it is. Not necessarily in Jerusalem or in the temple, but outside the gates, where love was good and true enough to please God. It is found on Good Friday and in the accompanying resurrection. With the scars of death, he returned to our world, to an unholy world. He resurrected not to gather up what good people remained, because there are no good people. He rose to announce to the unholy that he alone was the reason that we can repent and live, that we can turn away from hell and enter into God's presence. And his scars prove his sacrifice. And his return to the world for 40 days proves his love. These things save us. And that God gave a feast called Passover, and central to that feast was sacrifice, is testimony that there is no other way to heaven. Not by our good works, certainly not by our good looks, or our good intentions. Joseph and Mary also went because they too were sinful. Our text is pretty blunt about it. The fact is that Mary and Joseph lost track of their son. In a perfect world, with perfect parents, this wouldn't happen. And if it did, perfect trust would have erased all that anxiety that these parents placed on themselves with the passing hours. Perfect love casts out fear. Faith is to be a foil against all life's anxieties. But we lack perfect love, and our faith can blow like this winter winds. Warm one day, cold the next. Mary and Joseph were pious, but they needed a Savior. Jesus grew up knowing, as our text says, parents who needed a Savior. He had relatives and acquaintances. From them he learned that all needed forgiveness, and that he also learned how important it is to give forgiveness. It was why he was here. God raised in Joseph such a faith as to take 2 weeks off to travel with these relatives and acquaintances to Jerusalem. This God did, giving him a father like Joseph, to provide Jesus, his son, with further knowledge of people, knowledge from God's Old Testament law and prophecy and promises. And so Jesus came to the most important place in the most important city of the most important people, the temple of Israel in Jerusalem. But the number and the influence of righteous men like Zacharias and Simeon was waning. The Sanhedrin, under the influence of the Pharisees, saw not the blood of the sacrifice as most important, but the blood of Abraham. They thought a racial identity could give them a heavenly inheritance. And it didn't. Jerusalem needed Jesus. He came. He came at 12, feeling not just the responsibility that every pious Jewish boy was called to feel. He began to feel the call to his office as prophet, as teacher, rabbi. Yes, the Word made flesh. He was caught up in the Bible, in discussion over it. And so our text really is assurance that even as a youth, Jesus was righteous. Jesus alone had that innate love that all others of our race lack. He alone willingly fulfilled the first, the second, and the third commandments to fully honor, hallow, and worship the true God. He came in the flesh to experience everyday life in our place as the one who would and did do it right. Do it with true motive. Later, as he hung on the cross, his righteous life would cover over our unrighteous lives, would erase our failure from God's mind. He did what we should, what we could not. Now that shouldn't give us an excuse now to do as we want. Well, since he did it all, I can relax, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now we're saved by trust, not by sloth or ingratitude. Jesus is no credit card to heaven. When and if I need him, I'll just pull him out. That's not to have a savior, that's to have a slave. And Jesus will not be used or misused without consequence. And so if we're tempted to drop out of church or become offended or compromise what we know to be true and right, and we will be tempted in all these ways, the way out is to let him help us. He's good at it. To trust in God will be the harder way. But it's easy in this respect, that since he has already paid my price for freedom, he certainly can work out the details to get me to heaven. We can say, let the chips fall where they may. I'm not going to move. Or in Old Testament lingo, the lines are drawn for me in pleasant places, and I have a good inheritance. And so I will not misuse his grace, but employ it in my everyday life, even as Jesus teaches us here. Being religious. Loving the Bible. These things weren't incidental to his life, but central. Now, it's true, as true human, he had to be taught reading and writing and arithmetic. He was taught the Bible from his parents, and probably also at the local synagogue. And here in Jerusalem, he also was caught up by the opportunity to sit at the feet of real scholars, enjoying the discussion, the banter, the laughter, the serious questions. Bible and religion were not boring, shouldn't be to any of us, because it can lift us from our moodiness, can teach us when we're perplexed, comfort us after a decision, assure us of forgiveness, lead us back to humility, make us soar like an eagle, stand up again for the next stage of life, and make us anticipate life for the world to come. We read all who heard him as he discussed these things. We're astonished at his understanding and answers. He did the hard work of listening, and he compared what he heard with what he knew, and the touchstone of all truth, of course, for him and for us, is the Bible. He understood, could combine the details of a problem, could call up the doctrines, could separate the casual from the essential. He did, as Hebrews says, the Word of God is living and powerful, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Even at 12, his was the interest and intellect that we would wish we had. When his parents saw him, they were amazed. Not in the same way as the teachers, however. Perhaps after spending the years watching Jesus grow up in the dusty streets of Nazareth with the 101 normal things of life, seeing him learn the hand trade of his father, to see him so natural in such a setting as the temple courtyard at the feet of scholars, that was amazing to them. Why, it should have been, escaped our Lord. And Mary said, "Son, why have you done this to us? Behold, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Jesus understood Mary to think that he had acted personally against them, intentionally a mistake or even wrong. Now, according to his divine nature, Jesus could not sin, and according to his perfect human nature, he would not sin. Jesus did not break the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, when he became engrossed in the teaching at the temple. He kept the commandment, honor your father. That is, in effect, what he gently explained to his parents. "Why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, Jesus' explanation didn't right away restore trust. In fact, they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. To grasp the fact that Mary and Joseph knew by the word of angels, from Simeon, by the acts of the wise men, that Jesus is Son of Man and also fully Son of God, it's easier said than completely endorsed, especially if you raised your Lord from a baby. And so they needed the Savior to become their Savior, that is, to grow up and live a perfect life, and to teach the way of faith by which all can have eternal life, to do his miracles, to suffer, die, and rise on the third day. Right then, it seems his parents may have been too close to Jesus to see him clearly. But we're just as prone to put Jesus at a distance, above the fray, thinking of him only in terms of mystery or spirit, not in terms our text presents,
Mary.
A brother. The names of our text, Mary, Joseph, and the dates at 12 years old and the places of Nazareth, Jerusalem, Temple, Passover. This sets things in perspective, that we do have a brother made like us, only without sin. A brother like none other, who said, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise to you. And at 12, he did. Our text is a concrete example that he did grow in spirit, wisdom, and grace. And he put it to use. And when he went back to Nazareth, he was subject to them. Though at the same time, they were subject to him, who holds all things together in time and eternity. His mother kept all these things in her heart. Now that's a great place from which to begin Epiphany, to anticipate the resurrection, contemplating what was told Mary about her son, told her from Scripture, from the angels, from Simeon, from wise men, and now from her son himself. She would agree with the first verses of the first two chapters of Hebrews. God, who spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We bless thee, O God, for the revelation of thy will and wisdom in the life of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. By thy Holy Spirit, implant in us more and more of the mind of Christ. Make us glad to go into thy house where we may see thy face. Open our ears that we may gratefully hear and consider the preaching of thy word. Instill in our hearts, O Lord, a constant memory that we are baptized into thy Son, Jesus Christ. And that as we are made partakers of his death and resurrection, we also may conform ourselves to his life, and with the aid of thy Holy Spirit, walk with him in newness of life. In all our doings, Heavenly Father, Enable us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee. Deliver us from conformity to this world, and transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we may show forth thy good and acceptable and perfect will in our every thought, word, and deed. Hear our prayer, O God, also for the fellowship of thy church. Prosper and bless our worship and our witness of Christ and his power to save. Fill us with zeal for the salvation of men and the extension of Christ's kingdom. Grant thy strength and blessing to all pastors, teachers, and missionaries, that they may proclaim thy word with fervor and diligence, and bring the light of the gospel to people of all lands and nations. Grant, O God, that by thy Holy Spirit, thy church might confound all human wisdom, all earthly might, and all fleshly nobility with those things which men view as foolish, weak, and despised, namely thy word and sacraments. And since no flesh may glory in thy presence, may thy church ever glory in thee, O Lord. In thy mercy, Lord, show thy strength and goodness to the sick and the afflicted. Give them faith to cast their cares upon thee, being assured of thy care for them. Help, heal, establish, and strengthen them. And in all things enable them and all of us to rejoice in thy holy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, whom we worship and adore with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. We sing the third hymn, number 98. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him, being found in fashion as a man, thou didst reveal the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom and the
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
through the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given into death for your sins. Take, eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blood which was shed for you, for the remission of all of your sins. True blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. Body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. To the Lord, for he is good. The Father, fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 408. His face shine upon thee and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you his peace. Good morning. We have a voters meeting today. Pastor, do we have Bible study before that?
Not at all. The voice is not well enough for that.
Have to save your voice for up north. Mm-hmm. Blessings on your travel. So, a voters meeting at Sunday school for the little kids.